Three Peeps in a Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 99 of Three Peeps in a Podcast, 99 with a flake. Tonight's show is myself, Patch, and I've got a guest on who is a friend and who is also a pub landlord. Say hello, Simon Sherwell.
Hello, everyone. How are we all?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, considering. Last night's episode that we recorded with Alex Lowe, also known as Clinton Baptiste and Barry from Watford, which was absolutely awesome, and it was so great. And thanks again to Alex for joining us. This is a CV-friendly, free, I should say, zone. I'm referring to it like Voldemort from Harry Potter, so I will not mention it. Don't want to give it any more airtime than it deserves. I thought it'd be a great idea to get you on, Simon, just to talk about the impacts on the pub industry that it's having. But before we get into that, I guess we just need to explore a little bit about how did you become a pub landlord? So tell us a bit about the story behind that and how long you've been in the pub landlord game.
Well, I've been drinking in Keynsham for a number of years. And the old landlord was hitting 60, getting divorced from his third wife, Russian, you know, one of those kind of characters. And we just turned around and said, well, can we make an offer for the rest of the lease? We've always wanted to do it, me and my mate, best friend from school, Craig. And he took us up on it. We said, okay, we haven't got the whole lump sum, but if we pay you £1,000 a month back until it's paid off in 2 years, and we'll give you a deposit. And that's how we purchased it. And that was 6 years ago.
How long ago was that? 6 years ago, right.
Yeah. Blimey. So an interest, yeah. A long time.
So it's the old bank. Is it the old bank tavern or just the old bank in Keynsham?
Old bank in Keynsham, public house. It used to be a wine bar, so some still call it the wine bar, but the wine bar's opposite the road, which is mass confusion with delivery.
And for those who don't know, Keynsham is between Bristol almost and like Bath. On the way out from Bristol towards Bath, hang a right. Down past the old
between
Cadbury's
two thorns,
faction.
As you call it, around here. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. I grew up in Longmore Green and could always smell the Cadbury's chocolate factory from Keynsham, which is long gone now. But that was always a good landmark for me. But coming through Keynsham, you're literally more or less opposite the church, aren't you?
Absolutely right. There's a zebra crossing, nice and easy. We're the sort of first drinkers pub to the Cadbury's estate, which has now been turned into housing on a floodplain, as is per normal planning regulations. we're nearest to the train, railway station before I upset anyone. Easy, good transport links. But yeah, it's conveniently situated, and we're the only pub in the Good Beer Guide. Not that you can have a pint at the moment, but hey ho.
Well, come on to that. So 6 years ago, you started in the game. Obviously, did you have any experience of being a landlord? Or did you know what you're getting yourself into 6 years ago?
I was a practiced customer, a mystery shopper, so to speak. But certainly the other side of the bar, none whatsoever. So it was, everyone told us, don't be so stupid. Don't do it. Two mates from school. This is what a romantic dream here. What on earth do you think you're doing? And actually, it went really well, surprisingly. We haven't killed each other. There's been moments. But I think when you work with your mates, it's an entirely different ball game in business.
How does that work? Do you treat your relationship separately? I've often wondered what it's like going into business with someone you're so close to. But how do you manage that?
It's risky, you know. It's basically as chaps, we just now and again a build up, we blow up, start shouting at each other, and within 24 hours, we'll point. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool, no worries. Sleep on it. We're all fine. We just have to air it now and again. It's very occasionally you get that kind of thing, but there's always little frustrations that build up over time. And usually it can be solved with alcohol and going out. But, you know, the crux of it is we look back and think, well, actually, we've done very well. Made it a successful business. We were employing, you know, 12 people roughly at the time. I think I had 20 on the payroll this year. So it's, you know, mainly casual. But, we built it up from, you know, it had a popular fan base, but it was well known as a shithole, would be the technical term. And it's now a good boozer, and it's the sport. We support Keynsham Town, so we do the sponsorship money for them every year. Sponsor another Sunday team, and they're very loyal. So it's all about good sport, good people, good beer, and that's what we do. That's what we've worked and strived for over those years and built it up.
Yeah, so back in sort of 2014, I guess, doing the maths, it was when you bought it. And obviously since then, you've gone through two World Cups and two Euros. So you speak about, yeah, you've got the sports and things like that. I've always wondered in terms of like the, you know, the licenses for getting the sports, is it mega expensive to get it? But then you make that back in the boom of the pub.
You sometimes wonder if you ever make it back because it is very expensive. Sky, for example, even on it's tiered against rateable value of your property, which is tiered to business rate. So the higher rateable value, the higher the cost of Sky. If, for example, a small one-room pub like mine on the high street, it's £930, including that. So per month.
Per month. Jesus.
For Sky. And then it's about 360 for BT Sports. And now Amazon.
But then on top of that, now you've got you've got Amazon Prime, and you've got, you know, as you say, BT Sport for the Champions League, and it's only gonna snowball from there. I'm sure there'll soon be a Premier League TV channel that you've got to get X, Y, and Z. But it almost becomes a choice. You become the Sky Sports pub, or you become the BT Sports pub. You know.
Well, that's exactly it. But I mean, we did both. We were brave. There was good thing is there was nowhere else on the high street that actually had sports in any good shape or form. So we saw an opportunity. All you had was old cider pubs and a few others. My daughter's just walked in the room. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all authentic. It's awesome.
Yeah, real life. I'm telling you.
So you're actually sat in an empty pub now, which I find it's a bit very, like very frustrating for me.
A coffin it's just a shell. It's just gross. You know, it's normally a community hive of activity, and there's Fred in the corner with his pint of Guinness, and you know, I mean, yeah. you get everyone from 18 to 80, well, 90 odd, in fairness. A good range of people, girls, boys, solicitors, builders, scaffolders to, you know, to office professionals. It's a complete mix.
And is it pretty constant all year round? You've got your regulars, but then during the summer, I guess you get a few extra
it's
bonus
the summer
people.
Events. Yeah, absolutely. You sort of put the events out there, do a cider event. We had the, we do a lot of live music every Friday, or we were doing it every Friday. The Skimmity Hitchers, they were a Wurzel's cover band. So they were, sort of Viva Las Vegas. They did Viva Lyme Regis and did funny lyrics and that kind of great amusement. Boxes of cider, lots of red face, grumpy string, you know, lots of merriment. What's England, as they say.
So, it's good.
The more you do, the more effort you put in, the more range you try to appeal to, the better it is. Some things
I guess
we try to.
When you get these new sort of people coming through, that they might be coming to see a particular band, or they might be coming to see a particular football match. There's an element of trying to retain that custom, I guess, because they're not from out of town; they're just from round the way. But trying to retain them must be part of the goal.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there were 12 pubs in Keynsham. There's now 10, and it's a tough old game. And who knows what's going to happen there, maybe even less when we come back. But there, it's a tough thing, but you just have to appeal to as many markets as possible. There will always be the person that sticks their nose up at a pub like this, which serves the whole community. When we first started, the police were quite nosy because it was a drinker's establishment, and called us in and said, oh, the new landlord at the Charlton, he's kicked out all the riffraff, and apparently they're at your pub. To which my response to that was, well, you may call them riffraff, I call them members of the community. And like you, I'm here to serve the community. So if I get it right, I'm doing them a service, yourself a service, and myself a service. And everyone's happy. To which the inspector turned around and went, good answer. But that's how I treat it. I'm very fair. And my business partner's the same. And we give everyone a chance. Sometimes there is a case, get on home. Come back tomorrow, it's gone wrong. And if that happens again, fair enough, they've got to be barred. But there's no Peggy Mitchell in me, I can tell you. Get out of my pub. it's just not my style.
Well, I'm sure you must have dressed up as Peggy Mitchell in the past, but we'll park that.
That would look a sight.
But as I said, you're actually sat in the pub, and that's because you now live above the pub, which you haven't done for that long, have you?
No, that's right. No, I haven't for that long. So it's I suppose it's been a couple of years now, but it seems to have flown by.
It only seems like yesterday when you told me you were moving in above the pub.
Yeah, except I know. Yeah, where's it going, mate? Honestly,
that's crazy.
I think, yeah, but it's an enjoyable thing. It's a little bit annoying. Let's be honest. There's always something. There's always somebody, or there's a somebody wants a word about this, that, and the other. And you think, you're blimey.
Do you get a rep in. On peak nights like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, do you employ doorman or do you police it yourself?
I was policing it myself for a number of years. But that does become tiresome. But it wasn't ever that rough where it was violence every week. It's just sporadic little issues now and again. And most of the time it's self-policing and the barman would deal with it. As your old school friend James Dix worked for me. And he still does. And we'll touch on that later. So he's coming back doing burgers again. Okay. And we have had Dorman.
Yeah, let's go to that now. So do you do food and what's sort of on offer? And as you mentioned, James Dix, and you've got have you got a kitchen on site? How's that working?
We do have a commercial kitchen with a dumb waiter and on the upstairs, so that comes down. So but we've never managed to get it to work. There's always been too much competition on the high street. You know, right. You can get a tea coffee machine that caused an argument which me and my business partner. I said, get a kettle, there's no point, because you don't come to a coffee at a pub when there's 26 other places you can get coffee on the high street. And I'm not even joking, I counted them. So there are decisions you've just got to make. Food was always difficult because we had a one-room pub and a nice beer garden terraced in the middle of the high street. So we increased the footfall by doing the garden up nice and increasing the licensable area, by removing the car park. That kind of thing. So with that, train of thought was food. Yes. We're trying it now because in these challenging times, there is no on license for pubs anymore. It's banned. However, I did have an off license with my license on and off, so I could sell. So we have now started selling booze online and delivering, which is permitted. And we're also going to add a food offer into that as well over the weekend.
Okay.
Just to see JD's Burgers. That's what we're doing. So helping out Mr. Dixie for a little bit of pocket money and hopefully giving an extra element to what we can actually achieve as a delivering company.
So how does it work? Let's explore this delivery of beer cider, ale, whatever you're delivering. How does that work? So do you deliver it in a container of some sort, and is there a certain radius that you will travel and delivery charge? Just explain that
for me. So we've gone for 5 miles from Keynsham, so we're currently, we can do more, but we'd probably charge more. The delivery is £2 delivery, but we've got things like we're going to the wholesalers, buying off Pricemart stock like £4.99 for 4 cans of Thatcher's. We've using up some of our existing stock that we had in the cellar, because we were quite a busy pub for for being wet lead. It was significant amount of beer we go through a year. And so, yeah, we're running through reserves of that, the wine, and quite a few other things. And we're just offering what we can. Just
so in terms of the draft stuff, the draft lager, yes, etc. How are you pouring that, and how are you containing it and delivering it?
Well, we have got 2.5 liter cartons, which has literally just arrived late on Wednesday. So my biggest problem is I have ale casks, which usually only have sort of 6 weeks, 8 weeks at best,
life
on them. Yeah. So I got stuck with those because there was umming and ahhing as what pubs could get away with before Boris's closure decision on them. And there's still lots of hazy detail, let's be fair, but there's a lot to do. And that's not really the priority with what's going on. It's helping the NHS. So
absolutely. And I should just say, actually, that it's now almost 9 o'clock, but at 8 o'clock, I don't know if you were able to partake, but
I was out partaking in the street with my daughter.
You were?
And wife. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Completely
breaking. Yeah, so I was out in my street. Yeah. I was out in the street, and it was quite moving, actually. I was sat out there by myself at like 1 minute to 8, and then literally 30 seconds later, people were coming out, clapping, banging saucepans. There was fireworks. I couldn't believe it.
It was so well observed.
And I don't know what the plan is, but I think that could be something that we do once a week. Maybe, I'm not sure, I don't know how it started, to be honest. It was probably one of these viral things, but I think it was so well observed.
Why not? They deserve it. They work their backsides off for us in this situation.
Absolutely.
And even at the detriment to my own business, I completely understand the decision and support the decision what's happened, as I'm sure most business people do. It's painful, but we know it's done for the right reasons. But at the same time, there has been community support for us from regulars and people I have never even met before who are helping out small businesses by taking deliveries and wishing us the best. We're going to probably look at community support if necessary, if the localized volunteers are struggling to get people that are vulnerable, that are stuck at home. We can offer our assistance. If we're out on deliveries, it would help if just drop things off for people.
Absolutely. So I'm a bit more. I mean, I'm quite intrigued about these cartons. I'm trying to imagine what they might look like. I've seen a milk carton, like an oil carton,
so to speak, if you know what I mean. Like a little engine oil,
like
one.
Cardboard or?
Sorry, plastic. They are single use plastic. I can't win them all.
So a bit like a de-icer sort of thing would come in, yeah.
Absolutely, or a screen wash, exactly like
right.
That.
Screen wash. That's what I was looking for. Right, yes, I've got it in my mouth now. Exactly what I'm looking at. And you literally just pour from the pump straight into this 2.5 litre screen wash, but it's not screen wash. Let's just state that.
It depends on the cider. It depends on the beer.
Exactly. So you pour it into there, you're screwing it back on, and then how long would that last? Could I keep that in the fridge and decant it over the next 3 nights? Would that be okay?
Yeah, I think 3 is about right, because if it's come out of draft, it's gassed and everything else, so it's like anything. You wouldn't keep a bottle of Coke once open for a couple of days or so, really, is ideal. If it's ale or cider, flat cider, that will last, a good few days. Not you'd necessarily put it in the fridge for ale, but that's the one I'm targeting. And if I get a good enough uptake, I'm going to send an email out to all the camera members. I'm a member myself, the Campaign for Real Ale, which is a very big consumer group. Lots of people call it sort of trained spotters who like beer. But actually, there's a lot of good guys and girls in that organisation that try their best to keep the pub industry going.
And how many pints in 2.5 litres? I should know that, but I don't.
4.4 pints officially. So you're getting a bit of a bonus.
Okay. So what's just like an average night of drinking probably for most, I'd say. So you can get that down you in an evening. So there's no need to. For any wastage.
It's Sunday
and
afternoon.
And you're doing that on
a lot, but there we are.
Well, yeah, exactly. I was going for the average. So how do people find out what you've got available and how do they order and all that sort of stuff?
Well, they can either, they're Facebook messaging the page. We've put adverts out. We're using Shopify, which I'm not familiar with, but my mate's a creative design sort of guy for a web design company. So he's another old school friend. So he's helped us out with that, got that set up. But it's quite a relatively simple platform. You link with Facebook. And we've started adding items on. My business partner's doing most of it because, as you know, I have a day job. And then I'm helping out a little bit in the evenings with deliveries. Did a few today, which is good. And all right, it's nothing to shout home about, but it was, you know, 115 quid in three deliveries. I thought, well, that's not that bad, really, if you think about
it. That's good. That's good. I mean, bear in mind that people aren't having gatherings around their house and saying, right, I've got 5 litres of beer amaretti here for us to drink. It's people consuming it probably by themselves. So, yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, I've probably drunk every night since I've been locked down, if I'm honest, which I don't usually do, but needs must. I mainly drink on a...
I think there's many that are, yeah.
On a Friday and Saturday. But yeah, it just takes the edge off the day, doesn't it? Especially when it's every day is the same.
Indeed, yeah. And I think, you know, when we do come out the other side of this, it's going to be one hell of an almighty party. Let's put it that way.
I know. I was thinking about that.
It's going to be running for the pub. So, it's going to be tough. I don't know. If it goes on too long, the free money won't be around and it'll be recession level. So there may be a bit of rebuilding to do, but we've got a solid base to work from.
But everyone will find money to come out on the first night, I'm sure. So, yeah, we're going to have to start thinking about planning that, Simon, a massive event.
Yeah, absolutely. The music, beer, burgers.
Fancy dress.
Sounds like heaven. That's in your mind now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to hold you for that.
I'm 6'4" for the audience's sake. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. We were talking about, because we've got a pub rally that we do every summer, which has been cancelled. We were talking about recycling some old pub rally outfits for that first hurrah. So that could be an interesting evening. So with the delivery, I'm still really intrigued, as you can tell, by the delivery of draft lager, or beer or whatever. So is there a delivery? So you said £2 delivery charge.
Yeah.
And you just place the order via Facebook Messenger, and do you come out the same night night?
You can do it.
About how that works.
Right.
Trying to get a delivery slot on Tesco or Ocado or anything like that at the moment is an absolute nightmare.
That's true, and I'm of the opinion the pub should be given the option to do deliveries and take the beer off the beer in the bulk off the supermarkets who are doing a lot more. That's my honest view. It'd be helpful. And why not? The supermarkets have had a better than bumper Christmas over this period. It makes sense to share that. And there is intentions there as off licenses have been classed as essential services. You know, bargain booze, a key word.
off licenses are definitely key workers.
They are at the moment.
Yeah. As we said, I probably had a drink every night this week, which I never do.
No.
So during the day, if someone goes on and, you know, says I want 5 liters of X or Y, how does it get arranged in terms of when it's dropped off?
I just literally have an order fee. We leave it on the bar. I'll check it every now and again, and there's notifications as well, which I've yet to set up, but that's possible, and that's how it works.
And you will message back on Messenger to say what this will be delivered at some point between 8 and 10 this evening, that sort of thing, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And very often I'll just message straight back, or I'll just kick off. If they don't leave a remark, I'll just head straight over. So it's an online card payment setup. So So it's okay. All sort of synced in via PayPal. So it's everything's done. We can take cash as well. Some people walk past. I've seen some customers and they've gone, oh, have you got any beer? I can't be bothered to walk at Tesco's. There's like 2 meter spacing all around the car park. So it's like, yeah, no worries. And then I'll run in, get it and sell it and bingo. Bob's your uncle.
Brilliant. And that is awesome. So the actual...
Well, tough times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the payment, you actually send them a link, do you, to do the card payment? Once they've said they want it. Right, okay.
That's just done through the website. It's a PayPal route, I think.
So you actually order it on the website rather than Facebook?
And pay for it on the website, yeah. But some people come to me directly. Some people even phone up on the phone and ask for it that way.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of old customers that are quite happy for us to drop beer around. So we're really thinking there the containers have arrived and the ale's tapped and ready to go. I'm quite hopeful. It may help some of the microbreweries survive as well. They were struggling to get their beer out there with the right distribution networks because there's not many people doing what we're doing.
On Facebook, literally, I think most people are on the delivery side. But I mean, that's going to be the only source of income, really, isn't it, for the next month or two at least?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how are you going to cope with this? How is the pub industry going to cope with this? As you said earlier, you've got 10 pubs in Kingsham at the moment. Do you think that will become a few less?
2 weeks ago, they were shutting. They'd already shut and laid off their staff. The Legion did the same last week. And the even before this, there's the promise of the 80% of your staff wages being paid. Unfortunately, the details are hazy. It's very, very difficult when you haven't got the cash flow and the kind of money coming out. They've deferred the VAT payment, but to put it into perspective, if you don't earn up to that VAT payment, we just spent a load of money decorating the pub last year and cut our finances a bit thin, then we're just in a position to build. It could hit us at probably one of the worst times, if I'm honest.
Well, you
couldn't foresee that. That's the issue. So, unfortunately, that's where we were stuck. So, but I'm very lucky. Some of the tenanted pub estate is hand to mouth. It's 1 week and you've had it. You know, they are, and I've seen some disgusting things with hotel staff where they live in. And they're being thrown out and laid off and told to leave immediately with not even, as much as we understand the situation, no empathy whatsoever. There's been reports of that. So I count myself lucky. But even still, we're due a £10,000 grant, but we're not quite sure when it's coming. We know it's early April and the local authority are administering it from central government.
And what's that for?
That's just to keep everyone afloat.
That's part of this
COVID rescue package. Yeah, 10,000 grant, which is not, you don't have to pay that back for anything with a rateable value under 15 grand, 15 and 51 grand. It's 25 grand grant, which is great. But even still, with that, because of the numbers we were punching and the period we're going to be out, we're still going to require a financial rescue package, which is some business interruption loans, which is again government managed, 80% backed, but with their minimum of 25k. But we would need it really, even in my position. You know, a year ago we might have been able to brave this storm a bit better, but even now I've probably only got, with the delivery starting and hopefully picking up a bit, at the current state, I've probably only got about a couple of weeks left after surviving the first sort of week with bugger all. So it's, I'm a free of tie pub. I mean, some people have better reserves, but I've been on a pub networks group, and speaking plainly, most of them are, 1 to 2 weeks on tenanted, and you run around the month, 6 weeks on the other, because they've, overheads, VAT, rent, beer costs a lot, taxes. So it's difficult. Energy costs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and also even before this started, you would often see the number of pubs sort of, you know, your local pubs dwindling over the last, what, 5 years, 10 years, even that's been happening. What do you think has been the main cause of that? Just cheaper alcohol to buy in supermarkets and things
like
that?
Definitely. That they've had an unfair, they've sort of offset VAT on that by, you know, they say you don't pay VAT on, they just offset it with other other offers and other ways of doing it. So they've undercut all the pub estate. And if they're tenanted pub estate, you know, I'm paying half the price a tenanted pub landlord would pay for their beer, at least. You know, it can be sometimes nearly three times the price for a barrel, which is just absurd. So you've had greedy pub companies and profiteering supermarkets with lots of buying power. And then there was the beer duty calculator. And some will also say the smoking ban made a big difference.
Of course.
So you put all those factors together, you get a nasty terminal decline, and it was 20 odd pubs a week, 50 odd pubs a week at one stage. So, but quality will get shine through event, you know, I try and build to stay. And I think you've just got to make the offer attractive. And then your neighbours do, and then it attracts more people to the town. Because they've got themselves organised. You look at some of the suburbs of Bristol now, there's just nothing. There is no culture. And at night time, Keynsham still has that market town appeal and will drag people over from the surrounding districts.
Yeah.
So, and that's what you've got to sort of play into and look at all the avenues you can. You know, even simple things like sponsor a football team, man of the match, you get a £10, £20 beer tab. That might cost me £6 in stock.
But
he brings all his mates up to drink with him.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a common sense thing.
And it's literally just up the street, more or less, isn't it? So there's a pub down near the harbour side that's got a sign on the door. It's the pub, I can't remember the name of it, Bag of Nails maybe, with the cats.
Yes. That's Luke, his name.
There you go.
Slightly mad.
So he's got a sign saying no pub crawls, which I obviously ignore and go in when I'm on a pub crawl. But do you get much in the way of pub crawls? Because with 10 pubs in Keynsham, it could be a nice little circuit almost.
We do, and we welcome them because they're customers, and that's exactly what we do. So
I'm finding it hard.
Eccentric character, that chap.
When you turn people away.
Yeah, we took a photo when we went on the pub crawl, actually. It was only six of us who just about allowed us in. But we took a photo of the no-idiot pub crawl with us smiling.
it was actually quite embarrassing, really, because we did a bit of a pub crawl. I think we went in there towards the end when we were coming sort of back down the hill, Jacob's Wells Hill, and it said no pub crawls. I was like, yeah, that'd be fine. I know the guy. I didn't have a clue who he was. So I walked on in, about six or seven of us. You sat down in the corner. Obviously, everyone sort of stares at you. And we started playing they had some board games in there. We started playing that. And I won something. I can't remember what we were playing now, but I had a small win. And put my arms up to celebrate, and I knocked a couple of pint glasses over, and I can see now why they say no pub crawls.
Yeah, he's notoriously some call him eccentric, other people just call him a twat. So I'm more inclined to the latter, I'm afraid, with him. But there we are.
So yeah. The fact that you run your own pub, do you frequent other pubs?
Absolutely. Research is very important. I still remember what it's like to be a customer the other side of the bar, and I still enjoy the culture of pubs, and that's key.
So where would you go? Other pubs in Keynsham, or would you just go further afield? Or
I'm in East Bristol quite a bit. We've got on the train and go to Salisbury, done quite a few things like that. There's loads of Oxford we've done. On barges as well. That's nice, going around and stopping off and on the canals. So I go anywhere. Bruges, Belgium, lovely, absolutely fantastic for beer there.
Anywhere else in Bristol? Obviously, working your day job in the centre of Bristol, you've got some classic pubs like the Lime Kiln and the couple
that's
of pubs.
That's a favourite.
All that sort of thing.
Yeah, Paul in the Lime Kiln, he sells beer as well, the Bedminster Beer Company, so he sells ale. So that poor bugger's probably right. I haven't spoke to him for a bit since this has happened. Mm. So, but he sells beer, which I bought from him before, ale. And he's also got his little pub. So I'll have to give him a call.
Have you got the goalkeepers union? Have you got like a pub landlord union?
There's a SIBA, there's a Society of Independent Brewers. There's a British Institute of Innkeepers, which I don't pay the premium for. But there is a pub network on Facebook, which has just started up recently and been really useful just before this crisis. So I've got some really good links from there. And good guys that have challenged pub companies in court and things like that. And that's going to be very much an option, I think, for the future.
I can't imagine many pub landlords of old school pubs being on Facebook. That's the only problem.
No, so there are a few less agreeable characters within the some bring the world upon themselves. But I'm
sure.
Well, the good guys are out there, and they're to be found, and there's some great people in the industry, and it is a traditional thing. And it's still very important to me and my family and my friends. So,
absolutely. And as you say, it's adapting to new ways of working, new ways of living over the coming. Let's just say 2 months, no more than that, because I think we'll all go quite literally
crazy. Yeah.
and I obviously wholeheartedly hope that you get through it and come out the other side smelling of roses with the way you're adapting and continue to be the pillar of Keynsham.
You're too good, mate, and your beer's in the post.
Well, I was going to say it's my birthday tomorrow, so
happy birthday, mate! Yeah,
I'm starting the last year of my 30s in isolation. Unfortunately,
what excitement! You definitely deserve a beer tomorrow.
Simon, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
We will speak again very soon, and hopefully people listening in will come along to the old bank in Keynsham once it's blown over and experience your hospitality for themselves.
That'd be lovely. Thank you ever so much, mate. There'll be a pint for you for sure.
Thanks a lot.
You're a diamond. I'll see you soon. Please patch.